Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. How are you doing? It's Trina Myra here. My old pal Lisa Cannon is with us today. Hiya, Lisa.
Hi, Trina. How are you?
Can I ask you, first of all, how's motherhood? You must be up to your eyes, are you?
I am up to my eyes, but
up to your neck and nappies.
It's so different, Trina. It's so different. I'm certainly not looking as glamorous as I used to be. I live in my jammies most of the time.
Oh,
but hey,
it. Yeah.
It's fabulous.
Yeah, fabulous. And she's doing great. She must be, what, 9 months or around that now, is she?
Yeah, she's 9 months. And it's like everybody says to you, and you don't believe it till it happens. You know, most people tell you your wedding day goes really fast. And you're like, yeah, until it actually happens. You're like, wow. And same with parenthood and motherhood.
Yeah.
You know, she's grown so much in the weeks and months that I just don't realize. Every time I pick her up, she's sprouted up and she's bigger and there's more hair and her eyelashes have been, you know, you're like, wow, they grow so fast. But it's true what people say. Yeah. You have to just cherish every moment.
Absolutely. And get loads of videos, because you kind of forget almost. I'm like, I wish I could remember all the days my little one was a baba still. But I'm disgusted you're not in studio with her, because I wanted a little cuddle. But anyway, next time you have to bring her, right?
Oh yeah, listen, she'll squeal the house down. She's like her mother. She can babble. She's already saying mama, dada. So she'll be into you in no time. I promise.
Brilliant. She'll be trained up.
I'm only back to work, you know. So it's like, this is lovely. It's nice being able to chat other than to a 9 month old, you know?
Yeah. Well, look, we're going to talk today, Lisa, about a broadcasting masterclass that you're doing at the Gaiety. First of all, when is it on? Who can apply to go and do this? It's a one day event, is it?
Yes, it is a one day event. So the Gaiety School of Acting, whom everybody knows, has had Colin Farrell, Barry Keoghan, Eve Hewson, Sarah Green. I mean, you name it, everybody's gone through the doors of the Gaiety School of Acting. And I have a kind of a lineage with them. You know, I've taught there before many moons ago, and they asked me, would I like to do a masterclass all on broadcasting, which is exactly what you do, Trina. You know, all the essential kind of toolkit for broadcasting, which is everything from mastering the audio cue, you know, polished presentations, conducting professional interviews, whether it's going to be with celebrities or if you want to do sport or if you want to do news, and just being comfortable with broadcasting equipment. But most importantly, if you're an aspiring presenter or want to hone those skills, that I'm going to do a one-day masterclass at the Gaiety School of Acting, November 30th on a Saturday from 10 to 4. And I hope the practical tips will kind of help you shine on the screen and, you know, make you one step closer to your career in broadcasting.
Yeah, because I've never done telly. I've only done radio. I wouldn't have the slightest clue about autocue or anything like that. So maybe I'll be there myself, Lisa.
You'll be there. I'll definitely get you in. Because, you know, people ask me constantly. I sometimes get stopped in supermarkets, or if you're in a shopping centre, people are like, oh, my daughter wants to get into TV. You know, how do we do it? How do we do it? And I think, to be honest, Trina, you know, you have to start with some level of understanding and skill set to be able to even do an audition for TV. I mean, that's how I got onto Exposé. You know, I started in Nationwide. I was producing, and then I kind of moved in front of the camera. And I, a bit like most people, you know, I was a bit unsure. I was a bit anxious. Didn't really know what I was doing. And then I was doing radio in tandem. But, you know, having those essential kind of broadcasting toolkits are brilliant, because at least then you know what you're doing when you're going in to do an audition. And I was lucky. I did okay. And I got on Exposé, and the rest is history. But it's sometimes good to have that string to your bow, I suppose, people say. But there's many people that are coming to the course that have never and just want to know what it's all about.
Do you remember on Exposé, they did a search for a new presenter called Total Exposure years ago? A lot of our listeners might remember this. And they had to learn things like that, like the autocue and all. And it looks, to us watching TV, that looks so easy to do.
But I would imagine that
it's actually very nerve-wracking, and you have to always, you know, be one step ahead of what's happening next. And camera crews probably don't have the time to be doing take two, take three, take four.
No, it can be nerve-wracking, because if you're doing live TV, you have a director in your ear, and sometimes they're saying stuff to you. It's like, you know, if you're on the phone and you're in the middle of a conversation with someone, and someone's like, that's trying to tell you something, and you're like, I can't do two things at the same time. Well, I've had to learn that skill set. You do, because you have a director telling you to, you know, stop
wrap
that question, move
whatever.
On. You've got 1 minute to... Yeah, so, you know, those are little kind of hidden gems and secrets that people might not know. But also, you know, the class, the master class, it's from 10 to 4. We're going to have a great laugh. It's all day long. I mean, obviously, I can talk about all my 20 years in broadcasting, all the different elements of working on This Morning and ITV. Royal Events, and obviously my work across all the different news publications, The Mirror and The Indo and everybody in between. But also, you know, currently Ireland AM, my own show, Box Office, that ran to 7 years. And of course, everybody knows me as well from Exposé. So yeah, it's really, you know, giving everybody a global overview of what broadcasting is all about. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I'm able to give people a whole plethora because it moves from print to radio to television. And of course, now everybody in the digital era, you know, online and how to broadcast yourself across Instagram. So yeah, it'll be a fun day and I'd love everyone to come and join. And it's not something I'm going to do full time, but I think, you know, doing a masterclass like this is exciting because people will really get to know what it is that we do.
Yeah, really, it's lovely for people to get a taster as well to see if this is something that they'd be interested in. Now, I know you a long time, Lisa, because we would have been on kind of the entertainment trail together, traveling to London a lot, interviewing the movie stars and standing next to each other on red carpets. By the way, which is sometimes glamorous, but sometimes you're standing there for hours in the freezing cold and you get 3 minutes with somebody.
That's it. Yeah,
and Lisa was always very well known for having the claw, wasn't that it?
My nickname was the claw, people used to say to me, how do you get like Brad Pitt and
to stop.
Sir Paul McCartney, Kate Winslet, the Rolling Stones, you know, Tom Hanks? I'm like, because I basically just claw them next to me and keep them with me. I put my hand on them and I don't let them go, Trina.
Yeah. So how did that always go down? I mean, were there some celebrities who were like, back off, love, there, you're in my personal space? Or how did it generally go down?
It's funny, you know, I got away with it for all the years. I mean, I remember even doing it to Jennifer Aniston. You know, I was so near to her. I mean, I just have to explain what the junket setup is, that you're in a room, it's very tight, there's, you know, the movie posters behind you, and you're almost genuinely meet me with the celebrity. And all of this, we'll do all this in the masterclass, where, you know, how to kind of disarm celebrities or disarm people in general. But we were literally, our little bony knees were touching each other. Well, it was bony back then, but anyway, I remember touching her knee because she just got engaged to Justin Theroux, and she had this enormous, like, Fox's Glacier ring, mint ring on her finger. It was beautiful diamond, and I kind of moved forward, our knees touched, and then I put my hand on her bare knee. She kind of looked at me, what are we going to do? I was trying to reach the ring, you know, and it was just like, whoop, touching Jennifer Aniston's leg there. But she didn't mind, you know, she didn't say anything.
Was it hairy?
No, smooth as glass. It really was just one of those things where it kind of accidentally happened, you know, but genuinely, it's a real, I think, to be honest, without being a generalization, it's a real Irish thing as well.
Clearly, you know, well, I had an incident I have to tell you about that literally only happened there on Monday. So I was with Robbie Williams and went to get the photo at the end, and the person who was taking the photo accidentally had my phone set to video instead of phone. So I only saw all this when I got home. I looked at the phone for the photo and there was the video. When I went to stand next to him for the photo, I literally put my hand on his stomach as if he was my husband or something. I was setting up this photo and I was like, oh, did I really do that? I literally, like, it was too much and I didn't even realise. It was like an outrageous flirt and I hadn't even realised I had done it.
These things happen, you know. I mean, how many photos have I got with celebrities? Countless. I don't have them anywhere in my house. I just have them on my phone or they're, you know, back for this is how long I'm doing broadcasting. I mean, most of them are on digital, you know, Bebo, or on hard copy. Yeah, being developed. That's how old I am. But, you know, it's funny, with the ones I have, I'm really close to everybody's arms around them, everything. And I think it's that genuine kinship of when, even though you're not, you know, to their level, you're like 10th division, you're just interviewing them. But there's a genuine kinship, a genuine warmth. You understand that they're there to promote something. But at the same time, they want to open up and, you know, talk about their lives. There's also a fine line as well. But I've been just really lucky. No, nobody's come running after me saying that I've too hands-on or too clawy.
Well, you know, I just hope there's not going to be a lawsuit now. I hope Robbie Williams is not going to come after me with a lawsuit. That was very accidental, Robbie. For half a second, I forgot that you weren't my husband and I couldn't actually pose in a photograph like that with you. But
it is one of those genuine things where you're just like, how you doing? And you reach out because you're a warm person. I do it to everybody. It doesn't matter who you are. If you're my local butcher, I'm nearly shaking hands with you. Thanks a million. I'm off on my journey. Yeah. Maybe it's wrong, maybe it's right, but I know there's been some trouble in the waters today, hasn't there?
Well, Drew Barrymore was doing an interview with Martha Stewart, and I don't know whether you've seen the new Martha Stewart Netflix documentary. I'm kind of watching a bit and then I'm stopping it and going back to it. It's a little bit slow, but she was interviewing Martha Stewart, anyway, Drew Barrymore, and Drew Barrymore is very much very touchy-feely, and she touches her arm and Martha Stewart is like, back off, love. Wrong gender, as if like Drew Barrymore was flirting with her or something. And it was just cringe.
But do you not think sometimes though certain people just I don't know.
She's a bit icy now, Martha Stewart, I thought. A bit ice queen.
Yeah, but I think she's also looking for a rise. She's looking for a line. She's looking. Some people can just be very tricky to interview. And, you know, we were talking about this. It can be just that, where somebody's on an off day. They maybe got bad news right before they went on air, or they're just particularly unpleasant people. Mm. And they can be sticky. You know, even celebrities can be totally socially awkward. They really can be. Sometimes, you know, incredible celebrities that you adore and admire, and they're highly creative beings, but they just actually can't interact so well with others. You know, they don't have that kind of personability and friendliness. And I'm not saying Martha's like that. I'm just saying, you know, it was kind of an odd comment because, I mean, let's be honest, Drew Barrymore is a much more, I think anyway, famous actress, household name than even Martha Stewart, you know. Everybody knows Martha Stewart. I'm not saying they don't, but, you know, Drew Barrymore, in terms of celebrity, she's definitely of a bigger peak. So I thought that was a bit of a put down. I didn't think it was a nice thing to do. You're kind of shaming someone, putting someone on the spot.
First encounter with the actress Emma Stone, I remember leaving the room thinking to myself, I kind of felt that didn't go too well. And then, sure, I found out about an hour later she was really sick. She'd had a vomiting bug and she was just trying to get through the day of doing the interviews. And straight away I was like, right, that explains it all. And she wasn't well.
This is it. And, you know, press junkets are definitely what people don't understand, is that they are contractualized to, or contracted rather is the word, better word,
to do it,
be there for their movies. And they have to sometimes sit for 8-9 hours in a chair. I'm not saying boohoo or anything, or a small little mini violin needs to come out, but, you know, the amount of press coverage they have to do for that movie to promote it, they have to sit there, and maybe 100 journalists from all over the world, influencers, mainstream news publications, smaller ones, you know, bloggers, people that maybe are really, really experienced and are movie critics and really into the movies, are very cerebral about their questions, and then maybe others that are just youngsters starting out in their broadcasting career, and they, you know, manage to get a foot in the door, and this is maybe their first big interview with a celebrity. So they're getting it from all angles, the experience, the questions, maybe they're answering the same question over and over
and over again. They are,
We've seen Notting Hill, you know, it's kind of like that. It's like a cattle mark. And I'd say sometimes they might get questions that irk them, or they just annoy them, or they're like, oh, geez, I've heard that question 50 times today. But they're actors, they're getting paid very, very well for it. So, you know, there has to be a little bit of compassion and empathy. And you're paid very well to sit there in a chair for a day. I'd certainly do it, you know.
Can you give us an example, Lisa, of any kind of tricky interview situations that you got yourself into?
Any sticky interviews? Oh, yeah. Oh, God, yeah. I mean, I'm a long time interviewing celebrities, particularly. I mean, even from my very, very early 20s. And the one that really sticks out to me is Kevin Spacey. That was much further along in my career. And I, you know, wasn't particularly a massive fan of the TV series that he was in, but I had researched, I hadn't watched much of it, but I did a full week of cramming it. And then I watched it, you know, House of Cards, this is the one I'm talking about. And when I went in, I'd flown over from London. My mother was very unwell at the time. You know, I had my own stuff, you know, leaving my home to fly to do the interview with him. And I remember walking into the room and the journalist that came out said, he made the girl before me cry. What? He's incredibly difficult today. I was like, oh no. You know, when you hear that, you're like, this isn't going to be good. But at the same time, you're a professional broadcaster. You know, you have your interview questions and exactly what I wanted to ask him. And when I sat down, I just knew by the atmosphere in the room, like the cameramen were tense, the makeup woman, you know, touching him up was tense. There was a coldness in the air, an iciness in the air. And he sat down cross-legged on the chair with his nose kind of pointing down towards his phone, and his glasses had slid halfway down his nose. So he kind of looked at me half through the glasses, but looked up. Didn't get up.
I know
didn't
that look
shake
that
my
you
hand.
Mean. Yeah.
And I put my hand out, like I'm saying, I would be as friendly to my butcher as I would be to Kevin Spacey, anyone. I'm always like that to everyone, say hello to everyone. And I put my hand out to say, hi, Kevin, how are you? I'm Lisa Cannon. And he let it hang there. Oh. He didn't offer his hand back. And I just thought, wow.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I'm not going to tell you on air what I was thinking, but most people are listening to this interview like, that is rude. Like, not many people do that to you, do they? So I sat down gingerly. I kind of looked at him and I was like, hey, I'm over from Ireland. You know, kind of a bumpy flight this morning, but really looking forward to doing the interview. Didn't say anything. He just looked at me and went, And then
as
he
if
put
you're
his
a piece
phone
of dirt,
down,
almost like.
As if, yeah, it was not good. It was not good. And you know what? I was so far along at that point that, you know, you have to get to a point where it's respectful and, you know, your own boundaries are being respected. And I thought to myself, well, I get up and walk out, which would be a bold move, because I wasn't going to entertain nonsense either. Or will I just start the interview and see how we go. And of course, you know, sometimes it takes a lot of courage to get up off that chair and walk away from an interview. I've done it once. But it is that sense of, well, let's just see how we go. But he was not pleasant from the get-go. This is not somebody that had a cold or, you know, was, you know, maybe jet-lagged or slept for half an hour. He just was like that with everyone. And I thought his questioning, you know, he stopped, he was curt, he was rude, he was kind of passive-aggressive. And we got through it at the end. And, I did not shake his hand back at the end. And I thought, why should I? Yeah. You know, I'm doing my job. I have my own stuff going on. And I'm here to help promote his movie or his series. And sadly, he was like that with everyone. And as I said, she wasn't the only girl. There was a couple of others that were very shook when they came out. You know, see, sometimes, I mean, that isn't normal. But sometimes that can happen where the celebrity is very truculent.
That's him on camera. Truculent. Imagine what he's like when he's not on camera. So, Lisa, how can we get details or how can we book into your broadcasting masterclass at the Gaiety?
Oh, thank you very much. Well, it is Saturday, the 30th of November, if everyone wants to know. It's on a Saturday, so it's an easy day. Mm-hmm. You just can log on to gaietyschool.com. That's the Gaiety School of Acting's website. Or go on Instagram, which is @gaietyschool. Or pick up the phone, give them a buzz, and we'll get you in the door. But it's an exciting day. I'm really looking forward to it. 10 to 4. And you'll be in with everybody else who's interested in broadcasting. And this is an exclusive masterclass. So be a good crack.
Brilliant. And it's not every day that, you know, you get access to Lisa Cannon and her years of experience as well. So it sounds like a brilliant day, a really fun day as well.
Thank you.
If anybody has any questions as well, you can give the Gaiety a shout there. And I'm sure they will be delighted to answer them. Lisa, the best of luck. And maybe one day you'll teach me that auto cue. Mind you now, I have a face for radio, so I don't really need the telly stuff.
You don't need it. Lisa, thanks so much, Trina. And it's always a joy having a chinwag with
thanks
you.
Thanks a million. It's Ireland's Classic Kids Radio.